Welcome back to the In My Fun Employed Era podcast. This podcast is for all my fellow college students, graduates, and anyone experiencing their quarter-life crisis in the modern era. I'm your host, Jalen, recent college grad, LinkedIn victim, and your unemployed friend on a Tuesday. Today's episode is a timely one, for me at least. The weather started to cool down a bit here in Southern California. It even rained a few mornings, and all that means is that autumn is on its way. As I've gotten older, fall has quickly become my favorite season. When I was younger, my default answer was always either summer because school would be out or winter because Christmas. Where I live, things pretty much look the same all year round. We really don't get fall colors, the weather just drops and it rains a bit more often. Symbolically, autumn has represented a time to let go and to transition into a new chapter of life. It is a time to be grateful for all that has happened in the previous year as it comes to a close. I've always associated fall with the start of a new school year. I remember dragging my parents to Target, back to school list in hand, begging for the 64-pack of Crayola Twistable Crayons. This year is the first year in around 18 years that I will not be returning to school in the fall. I remember this past January, a few weeks after I had graduated, I asked a few of my friends who had graduated a year prior when it finally hit them that they were done with school. They all said that it wasn't until they saw posts from their friends who were starting a new semester or getting emails and Slack messages from clubs that they were a part of that it began to hit. With most schools having started their fall semester or quarter, it is likely that you have come across these posts. And if you're still waiting to transition into the next chapter of your life, it can be especially depressing. Whereas before, there was only the intense desire to start your new life, you now juggle the intense feelings of nostalgia and a desire to go back to how things once were. You exist between the here, the past, and the future, but you're getting pulled in both directions. This can lead to feelings of jealousy or envy, not just for your own friends who've started their full-time jobs or traveling the world, but for those who are still in school living the life that you once lived. Unless you've been living under a rock, you've more than likely encountered the term FOMO or the fear of missing out. For those who don't know, Simply Psychology, a psychology blog, defines FOMO as the idea or feeling that you are missing out on something important or enjoyable that others are experiencing. It is the perception that others are having more fun, living better lives, or experiencing better things than you. While FOMO has been used in the mainstream to describe things like not being able to go party with your friends on the weekend or feeling that everyone at your job is being promoted except you, the type of FOMO that exists after graduating is a unique experience, especially in your 20s. There are a number of life milestones that society expects you to accomplish, whether getting married and having kids, working a full-time job, owning a house. These are all things that are expected of us. While there isn't a set timeline, I'd argue that if you haven't accomplished at least anything in one of these areas by the time you're 30, the people around you start to get put some pressure on you. I read a few books recently that focus on this topic if you're interested, that being Ghosts by Dolly Alderton, her memoir, Everything I Know About Love is also a really good one, and then another one is Convenience Store Woman by Siaki Murata. They explore this idea really well in that even if you are happy at that point in your life but haven't started a family or settled down, it starts to make the people around you uncomfortable. I digress, but I really love both of these books. If you want to dive more into that topic, definitely check out those books. In your early 20s, for the first time in your life, you're starting to see your peers making these big quote-unquote accomplishments. Still not in a relationship? The high school sweethearts at your school are married with kids. Still looking for a job? Your friend just launched their own business. Move back home with your parents? Everyone you know is backpacking through Japan and Europe. Quick aside, what was with that this summer? Literally everyone I know was either in Japan or some European country. Scrolling through Instagram was like seeing the same background, just different people photoshopped on top. Anyways, FOMO is nothing new to the class of 2020. Due to the pandemic, we missed out on many of life's key milestones that we had been looking forward to. Many of us did not have a traditional high school graduation or prom. My entire first year of college was all online on Zoom. It was a rough time. Also, one that public speakers love to capitalize on when talking about the class of 2020. If I had a dollar for every time one of our graduation speakers brought up the fact that we didn't have a graduation or this class didn't have a prom, it's like, at a certain point, we get it. Like, let's move on. 4 years ago, it feels like we were scraping the bottom of the barrel. You'd imagine that having already experienced this period of loss and unfulfilled expectations, we would be more resilient to the mental health challenges that often arise post-grad. We've already been through missing out moments that we planned for, not reaching the milestones we expected post-grad. it shouldn't have that much of an impact on us, right? Compared to other individuals? Well, no. A lot of us, or at least myself personally, place higher hopes on reclaiming all the time and experiences I had lost during the pandemic upon arriving and graduating college. I remember telling myself during the lockdown that, yes, things were bad now, but one day it'll all be over, I'll be living on my own, I'll have a nice paying job, and it'll all have been worth it. Flash forward to today, where I still have yet to accomplish many of these goals I set for myself, it can feel as if the feelings of disappointment that I held 4 years ago have only compounded. You've likely seen those motivational posts on Instagram telling you, keep going, do it for your younger self, or keep working, your future self will thank you. My best friend and I always joke about how if I met myself even just a year ago, they would fall to the ground sobbing. I remember a year ago telling everyone after I graduated that even though I wasn't sure what I would do next, moving back home wasn't an option. I'd have to be dragged back. Moving back home to me meant that I had failed and I couldn't bear that idea. If everyone else was able to find a job and start their careers post-grad, then so should I. This disconnect between this envisioned future that we have for ourselves and reality is one of the main causes of FOMO. Other causes include feelings of regret about past decisions and choices, being paralyzed by the amount of choices you have, and feeling pressure from others to be at a certain point in your life at a certain time. I'll talk about my college journey and experience in a later episode, but everyone knows how difficult it can be to choose a college major. When I entered college, I was an intended computer science major. I know, I've changed, I'm not that person anymore, please don't stop listening. Anyways, I reached a point where I could no longer handle it, and I ended up changing my major to something I know I would enjoy. Still, there was always that fear lingering at the back of my mind that I would not be able to land a job studying something I enjoyed, which has never been true. But I ended up adding multiple minors and another major for an added sense of security. Long story short, it did not work. Put myself through all that for no reason. But sometimes I still think that if I would have stuck with computer science, maybe I would have a full-time job right now. Yes, without a doubt, I would hate it, but I would be making money or living on my own at least. This spiral of regret is a key component of FOMO because we were trapped in the idea that if we could go back in time and do things differently, then we'd be living the life that we wanted. Many psychologists and therapists have argued, however, that this line of reasoning not only overlooks all the accomplishments you have made, but gives the false impression that the outcome of your life is solely in your control. There are so many factors out of your control that impact your life on a daily basis. You can push yourself as hard as you want and rethink every decision that you've ever made, but in the end, it's all a part of life. Coming to terms with this is one of the main coping mechanisms of dealing with FOMO, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Going back, one of the causes I mentioned also was pressure from others, which I think is the easiest cause to identify. FOMO relies on the idea that you are missing out on something, and you often don't become aware of what you are quote-unquote missing out on until someone tells you. This type of pressure can take two forms, directly or indirectly. Directly, it can be through friends and family members asking you what you have planned next in life, if you're dating anyone, those type of questions. This is not to attack anyone. The friends and family members who are asking you these questions either have nothing to talk to you about and it's an easier icebreaker for them, or they genuinely care about what you have been doing. But I wouldn't be lying if I didn't say there were times recently where I intentionally chose not to go places where I knew I'd be asked this or similar questions. Indirectly, we often experience this pressure through seeing the successes of others on social media. Previously, you might have had the passing thought about what your friends are up to before getting back to your own life. Now we are constantly barraged with concrete updates on every aspect of somebody's life. I've been trying hard recently to notice the impact social media has on how I'm feeling about myself, my body, where I currently am at in life, and similar things like that. I'll start to spiral into an episode of self-pity where I realize that if I did not know all the things that were happening in someone else's life, would I envy them the same? There have been so many times where I will obsess over people on Instagram who do not know I exist or care if I live or die. And every time I open the app, I'm checking to see if they posted, when was the last time they were online, did they see my story? One thing will lead to another, and eventually I'll get the courage to unfollow them. You know how it is. And I am not kidding you. Months, if not years, will go by where I do not think about this person a single day. And then out of the blue, I'll be like, oh, I completely forgot about this person. I wonder how they're doing. And that moment will pass, which is a complete 180 from when I still followed them and was spending hours of a day constantly wondering what they were up to, whether or not they saw my story, things like that. We could do a whole episode on parasocial relationships because I am a D1 parasocial relationshiper. But if you really think about it, the only reason why you are getting upset seeing the perfect couple or person with the perfect body and dream job is because it's being force-fed to you. I promise, if you do not open Instagram, you will never think about a lot of these people. The more I learn about the ways in which social media was designed to fuel and profit off these insecurities, the more I catch myself when I fall into these habits. In the same Simply Psychology article, author Hattie Brown describes the cyclical nature between feelings of FOMO and use of social media. Essentially, we feel like we are missing out on something and as a result check social media in order to feel a sense of connectedness, where we are more likely to come into contact with the curated and edited lives of other people who make us feel like we, again, are missing out even more, and the cycle continues. The most important part of that description that I want to emphasize is that the content we are coming into contact with is so heavily edited and controlled by the person posting it. You have no idea how many drafts or edits someone went through before they posted that picture you are taking at face value. Quick funny story, that's one of the reasons why I could not handle B-Real. I'm very much a perfectionist. I'm 100% the type of person who has to do multiple drafts and takes before I post on social media. I am that person who spends hours picking out the perfect song for an Instagram story that no one will watch. It is my craft. I am an artist. But for the first time I use B-Real, I had no idea that it shows everyone how many times you retake a picture. So I retook my B-Real maybe around 9 to 10 times because I didn't like how I looked in any of them. So you can imagine my horror when I picked up my phone and I see everyone was commenting, 9 tries, really took 9 tries, bro took 9 tries. I have never deactivated an account so fast in my life. Blocked, deleted, everyone. If you ask me if I had B-Real, nope, never had it. The insane thing about FOMO is that we are being envious and feeling like we are missing out on the lives and experiences of others that simply don't exist. There have been so many times where I've seen my friends post about their relationships or trips that they're going on, and I wish that I could have that for myself. It was not until I actually sat down and talked with them that I found out that none of what I thought was true about those situations. Going back to the whole concept of parasocial relationships, there have been so many people who I followed on Instagram at the beginning of college but didn't end up meeting until my senior year. And I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed because they did not match the idea of them that I had formed in my head. I'm sure I have a few friends listening, hopefully, who are starting to feel hurt. This is not about you. If we talked over DMs, if we like each other's stories, we're good. Who I'm talking about is the people that I put on such a high pedestal despite never having talked to or interacted with them, but form this idea of them just based solely on their social media presence. You fill in the gaps of what you know about this person with what you either hope or what they appear to be based like on what they post. But imagine if your whole personality was boiled down to what was on your Instagram. How much of your life would be missing? One of my all-time favorite interactions on the internet is when someone will overshare something that no one needs to know, and someone will comment a screenshot of that New York Times article by Michelle Goldberg, which is titled, "We Should All Know Less About Each Other," pointing a huge finger at those celebrities who all came forward about not showering every day. Like, keep that to yourself. They really woke up one morning and said to themselves, I think the world needs to know this. Like, no, we don't. Some things you just need to keep to yourselves. The article, going back, was published in 2021. It talks more about the idea of how social media is causing increased polarization in the United States, due to it causing us to hate people more who disagree with us on certain topics. I myself am guilty of this, and it's something that I'm working on, where if someone posts something controversial or that I disagree with the exception of a few things where I think I am justified, I will either unfollow them, remove them from my close friends, or change the way I interact with them. The funny thing is that up until this point, there was no conflict between myself and this person, and I had no negative feelings toward them. If we were having a conversation and said controversial topic came up, I doubt things would end the same as they do over social media. I would actually have to engage in a conversation with them, or if the topic never came up, I never would have known this about them. I believe that a lot of the issues that we have when it comes to politics or mental health are because we simply know too much about the people around us. Being in the modern era where we have access to so much information through the internet and you can learn about anything, I feel as if there's been this societal shift where this expectation is applied to people as well. if I can learn anything about the Amazon rainforest, which is like, say, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles away from me, I definitely should be able to learn infinitely more about the people I interact with every day, right? And if someone isn't regular posting or feeding me updates on what is going on in their life, they must be hiding something, right? This intense focus on what other people are doing and what they have, which again is often far from the reality of the situation, keeps us from living our own lives to the fullest extent. To end this episode, I just wanted to share a few of the different ways that psychologists have suggested combating feelings of FOMO that have worked for me and many others. First, I wanted to touch briefly on the idea of JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, which is the idea that instead of being envious about what other people are doing and beating yourself up for not having the same experiences, you take the time to appreciate where you are in life and acknowledge that what's meant for you is not always what's meant for others. Practicing JOMO requires a shift in mindset in which you're not seeking public approval but are focusing more on what is called private appreciation, in which you are privately celebrating your everyday wins. This can be through keeping a gratitude journal, practicing self-care. The idea is that your accomplishments are not meant to be put on a stage to be judged by others, but the value in which you give them is solely determined by you. Meditation and other mindfulness practices are a great way to start to build this mindset. The more you get to know yourself, the easier it is to separate what are the thoughts and goals you have for yourself and those that you adopted in order to make those around you happy. There also is a strong connection between your mental health and physical health. In college, I was usually the type of person to skip breakfast and lunch and not eat my first meal until around 4 or 5 p.m. And I remember my last semester, I was training for my first half marathon, so I actually had to make an effort to try to eat meals throughout the day and get 8 hours of sleep because otherwise I would not survive all my training. And the impact that it had on at least my educational aspect of life, it was a game changer. I know how cliche this sounds when people just say, make sure to eat or make sure to get 8 hours of sleep. But in reality, I was happier a lot more often than I was sad. And retaining the information I was learning at school became a whole lot easier. Now that I've graduated, I try to at least exercise a few times a week, knowing the impact it will have on my mental health. Whenever I'm exercising or running, I'll usually hear the words, "Depression hates a moving target," which is a book written by Nina Sweeney about her running journey. I have yet to read the book, but the title alone is always enough to motivate me to keep going. There was a 6-month period where I had graduated university, but was still living in the same apartment as when I went to school. I graduated a semester early, so my friends still had one more semester to go, and I ended up staying up there and working at a restaurant just so I could be closer to them before we all went our separate ways. One of the hobbies I picked up was running, and by picked up, I mean I was obsessed. I ran 5 days a week and ended up running 4 half marathons and 1 full marathon, all within the span of a year. A little bit insane. While I still love to run, I would be lying if I didn't say there were times where I pushed myself or forced myself to run to distract myself from the reality of my situation or the negative thoughts I was feeling. It's easier to say you're training for another half marathon than to say that you're unemployed and moving back home. Exercise is a great way to combat negative mental health effects, but only if you practice in moderation and are approaching it with a healthy mindset. In regards to social media, as mentioned earlier, the best thing you can do is reduce your screen time. If you notice that there are specific people whose posts are making you feel like you are missing out or simply behind in life, simply mute that person's account. Or if you don't even know them, just unfollow them. They're not going to care. You have a lot more control over your social media feed than I think the app wants you to know. You can simply tap the 3 dots in the corner of any post that's making you feel bad about yourselves and hit the show me less content like this and your feed will update. I have muted and unmuted friends in the past based on what I was dealing with at certain points in my life, and I still have the ability to message them or reach out to them without being force-fed content that I know wasn't helpful to my mental health at the time. We all go through it. Everyone will understand. Lastly, it's important to take things one day at a time. FOMO thrives on the idea that you're missing out on something or will never experience in the future. Setting small goals for yourself to accomplish every day can be a more productive way of spending your time and working towards these bigger goals than worrying about the big picture down the line. FOMO is a natural part of life. We are social beings and we have a strong innate desire to connect with others. But if we focus solely on the lives of others, we miss out on all the life that is happening right in front of us. Thank you all for tuning into today's episode. I would love to hear your experiences with FOMO and how you cope with these negative feelings. I'll be back with another episode next week, so I hope you'll stick around for future episodes. Until then, take care. I'm rooting for you, and we're all in this together. Cheers!